Welcome to the 29th episode of Charlie and Me. We are almost out of our 20s. We're not sure how we feel about it yet, but it should be pretty fun to be old.
Quarter life is happening.
Quarter life crisis.
Yeah. We're on the tail end of it.
We are definitely on the tail end of our quarter life crisis. It's happening, Charlie. It's happening. We got a fun show lined up for you. If you are not our friends and family, we do not know why you're here, but we appreciate everyone. If you are our friends and family, all the better. We're glad you're here. It's going to be great. Hi, Mom.
Get ready to, a little precursor. Get ready to show your musical talents. I might sing, you might sing, neither of us might sing. Who knows?
The jury's out. We're not sure. But anyway, we'll jump right into it here. I think you had a pretty crazy weekend, Charlie.
Oh, the fan band was at it again. Parents and sister decided to join me in Chicago for Christmas this year. My sister and I got my parents a weekend in Chicago and going to a Cubs game. So we finally cashed that in just a few months later. It was a great old time. It was perfect weather. Beautiful day game at Wrigley Field. Cubs won. Makes it even better. And just being together as one happy family again is all the week. It's the perfect weekend for me.
All right. I love it. The Cubs game was a fun one, too. I watched it, parts of it.
1-0 thriller.
I was really indulging myself this weekend on some football. Football is back, and that was a blast.
Play some football!
Another tie. I was pretty upset.
We played each other in fantasy this week.
Yeah, no one cares.
I won. Okay, back to
you. Other than that, I didn't do a whole lot. Hung out. My life's really entertaining, so that's what I did. Hung out with the fam, had some solid Sunday night dinner, and I'm riding that high into the week.
You had one of the best Snapchats you've had in a long time with your parents' two dogs.
Oh, yeah. Nyx is just petting Larry with her paw. You gotta have two, they'll just take care of each other.
Yeah.
The dogs are finally loving the new house, and that's happy to see.
Getting used to it, not peeing in every corner anymore.
Yep, nope, not marking their territory, not messing up all the rugs, but yeah, so it was pretty fun, did some yard work over there, and shot the shit, so other than that, that's the update, but I know we have a pretty good podium.
This has the potential to go really well.
We have some of the best friends in the world, we know that, we're aware. That's why they are still our friends. Well, we're not sure why they're our friends, but that's why we keep them around, at least. And on that note, we want to do a podium of types of friends we have. Friendships. Types of friendships. Not necessarily... They aren't necessarily calling anyone out, although...
Trevor.
Yeah. But we have some good ones to come up with here, so... with that, I'll let Charlie have the first pick of the podium draft.
Back to the quarter system, heads or tails?
Ooh, this is going to be contentious. I got heads.
It's heads.
Woohoo! All right, I'm going to go then. My first one, God, this is tough.
There's some surprisingly good options here.
I'd say my first one is just that friend, like that, just that kind of flaky friend who always says they're going to do something, but you still love them because when you do something, you have a lot of fun, but then you only see them every, like, once in a blue moon.
I was going to say, like, 3 times a year. Yeah. Those are really good nights, but, like, yeah.
Trevor.
No names.
Oh, sorry.
What? I weird bark in the background?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, yeah. My dog's out.
I'm going to go with... the friend that you met and you became like best friends instantly, and like for 1 year you were just like the best of friends, but then like never talked again.
Yeah. Oh God. I feel like that's everyone in their college roommates. Obviously not us.
Yeah.
Everyone in like their freshman year roommates, like, oh yeah, we were such close friends. And then I decided I didn't want to live with them anymore. I have this with a lot of people, but the friend that just never like texts you back. So you text them and then next thing you know, I'll get a text back from them like 2 months later.
Oh, months. I was gonna say days, but yeah, months too.
I literally have had friends that Oh, sorry, I didn't see this text. Like, I know you saw it, you just forgot about it. Like, it's fine, just whatever.
Yeah.
That's a funny one though, because then you get caught in conversation about what you were trying to accomplish like 2 weeks ago, and you're like, well, it doesn't matter anymore because I was looking for this person's number.
Pretty irrelevant.
Then you wait 2 months to text, 2 weeks to send a text to me. I'm not sure if it's 2 weeks, 2 months. It's been a long time. I wanted to wish him happy birthday. Now I'm two weeks belated.
I feel like it's much more of a problem for like our generation.
And with guys. I feel like with guys, it happens a lot more.
I just don't care.
Well, I guess when I text a lot of girls, sometimes they don't text back for a couple weeks. Maybe that, yeah. Huh.
Maybe it's a you thing.
Yeah, huh. Maybe I should think about that.
Inward reflection. Anyway, I'll go with my second one. I'm going to go with the friendship, where it's like, yeah, you're not a friend. You're second family.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, just you're past all the awkward, like, not awkward, but, like, nothing could really be awkward between you because they're just your family.
You're just the absolute closest of friends. You could, you literally have the most. Those are also the friends where you're not uncomfortable being like, hey, I need to use your bathroom.
And then just
yeah, just absolutely demolishing their bathroom, and they're like, dude, that was rough.
Or, like, I like the one where, like, the silence test, where you can sit in silence.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not awkward. You just, like, I have nothing to say right now.
Yeah, well, I got nothing to say. I wouldn't say if there was no one else here, so.
Yeah, so it's like, that's, like, if you don't feel awkward in those, like, prolonged silences, that's when you know this friend's more than friend.
100%. 100%. Those are the best. Trevor.
What? Weird bark again?
Man, this is my last one. It's gonna be tough. There's two people that kind of fall in this category, but the friend.
So you're getting way too specific with this.
No, I mean, like, two types of people.
Oh, okay.
But the friend that's always trying to do something.
The planner.
That's it. That's the planner. Yeah. Like, essentially, they're the friend that you want to take on a vacation because they'll know exactly everything they want to do.
Every successful friend group needs a planner to keep everyone going and on track.
Oh, yeah. No, that, yeah. Those are vacation people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Essentially, they plan the vacation. You're like, yeah, who do I owe?
Just tell them where to write my check.
Do I pay you for planning fees or a travel agent? Like, what do we got here?
Can you just plan my life for me? Yeah. That's great. Tack that onto my bill. My final one's gonna be my mom's best friends with your mom, so we're kind of friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good one, actually. It's like the friend that you see at a lot of you'll see them in like random neighborhood parties or like random like friend group parties that your parents drag you to. You're like, I get to talk to all these adults. And
you have a good time.
It's always a good time.
End up extending it much past those occasions. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But then after that, it's like, yeah, well, I'm going to go grab some beers. But you feel kind of awkward leaving, too?
Yeah, it's like you don't do the full-on you can come with, but like you're not like shutting that option down.
Yeah, like they could invite themselves, but...
You're making them play the room.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, no, that happens so often. And it's not that I don't enjoy hanging out with, like, parents, friends, and stuff, but after a while, you run out of the same conversation.
It's like those 3 times a year, I'm like, oh, I remember when you did this when you were 5.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Not really. No, I love it, though. I love it.
Any other ones you wanted to bring up?
Kind of just, like, that hermit friend that you actually never see, but you're still friends. So, literally, if you ran into him on the street, you'd catch up in, like, 5 minutes, and then you're like, all right, cool. Well... I'll see you again in 5 years.
That covered everything.
Yeah. That covered everything that's been happening. Sometimes I am that friend too, though. So.
Oh, I feel like parts of us, depending on what part of our life we actually want to divulge.
True, true.
It makes it seem like I did a lot or not a lot.
What other honorable mentions you got?
I have that one friend that you like were really good friends with such a long time ago that you kind of will always just be friends, even though like you have like nothing in common now that you've actually grown to be your own adult.
100%. Yeah, I know exactly.
But, like, you'll just still be good friends. Like, you'd still consider one of your best friends, even though, like, if you just met each other for the first time, you'd probably never talk to each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. What about, like, that friend that you never actually know where they are? Like, oh, well, last time I checked, like, they were living in Minneapolis, but they're actually living in, like, New York.
That, I always wonder how they do it. Like, what do they...
Like, where do they hide their information? Because I feel like everyone knows where I am at all times. And then...
Oh, what about, like, the Snapchat friend?
Oh, yeah, did you just snap... Or, like, oh, like, someone you just send memes to, and it's just, like, you just... Because you find, like, certain things funny, and you're like, I don't know what else to send you. But so here's this.
A good meme.
What?
Awkward silence, so here's a meme.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't literally talked to you in person for over a year, but I've sent you all of these, like, dogs on Instagram, so...
there's, like, social media friends in general.
Those are great. Yeah. Yeah, social media's created a completely different kind of friendship recently. Wow. That's both sad and reassuring at the same time, but I'm not sure which one it actually is.
I think social media, in a way, is, like, worsened real friendships, but enhanced the semi-relationship, like, the semi-friendship.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree.
You kind of keep tabs on, like, people, but, like, you're really good friends, it makes you a little, sometimes more interactive.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. I don't think I have any more friends.
Dude, I'm fresh out. We've had 29 episodes. You've met all my friends at this point, pretty much.
I know.
If I were forgetting anyone.
anyone who does listen and wants to come on the show, we are holding open interviews for people who want to come on the show, just by the way. You know, your mom, your cat, your dog. The dog and cat can be a little quiet, but I think we could do it.
It'd be an extension of just our witty banter, which is really witty, so everyone would love it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you just hear a, ooh.
Shut up, Larry.
That's enough. I'd love it. All right, well, let's pop in this interview with another good type of stuff. Now we welcome on Joe Wacker, the producer of that little tune you hear after every interview that we have. Great guy, even better lover. Welcome on, Joe Wacker.
Woo! Yeah, what's up, friends? How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. Joe, we're happy to have you on. This is our 29th episode.
Happy to be here.
You're coming into us before we hit our 30s, so welcome.
Hey, 30s is a prime time, though.
Prime time. Yeah, that's true, especially for males. anyway, we'll start off with the first question that we ask everyone always. What's your favorite Charlie and Me moment?
Favorite Charlie and Me moment? I'll have to say interviewing my other half, Michael J. Myers.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really enjoy the thumbnail of him sitting in the bathroom for that one. So
yeah.
I just asked him before this if he was taking a shit during that. He's like, no, I just went there to focus, man. Like, it's a good safe space or whatever.
That was actually pretty funny too, because we asked the exact same question and we're like, so are you going to, like, we can wait. we can wait till you're done. But he said it was just the best place he could find, so. All
right. That may be a cover-up. Maybe he had, like, in my case, I had T-Bell right before this, so.
Yeah, you might have to cut the interview short.
Yeah, yeah. But I think we're good. I think we're safe at this point.
We just hear the phone drop and then silence for a while.
We'll know exactly what's going on. We'll know exactly Perfect. What's going on. So what about, I mean, you live next door, you and Mike live next door to us, freshman year, when the connection started.
Bond was created.
The bond was created. any good memories from the formative years?
I see. I don't remember if Mike mentioned this one. Did he mention the one where the RA knocked on our door and you were in our room?
I actually don't think so.
He did.
Okay. He did? Oh, he did?
Yeah. Oh, he did.
Oh. That was a good one, though.
That was a great one.
I just hid behind the door the whole time.
Yeah, just, you know, waking up in the morning, seeing what you guys are up to all the time. Just kind of chilling, you know, hanging out with the cross country team. I think you introduced us to trap.
Oh yeah.
That might be one of our crowning moments.
That would be one of our crowning moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good time. Just having, like, the open door policy. We just swing by.
Yeah. Just walk in, play a little GTA.
Always.
And then walk out. You would hear Charlie and I fight really loudly in the mornings.
God damn it! You're beating that Tiger Woods again. The cross country team. I know. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it.
All right, Joe. For those of you who don't know, Joe, you are the lead guitarist and singer in a world-class band.
World-class band.
I was kind of wondering...
Syrup Finger, check it out.
Surf finger promote. I was kind of wondering, when did you start playing music? And when you first started, did you have the dream of playing a band, or was it more of just a creative release for you?
Ooh, that's a good question. So, I knew that I wanted to do something with music when I heard the song "Learning to Fly" by Tom Petty, and I just got that tattooed on my arm, actually, in the memory of the late Tom Petty. Yeah, real there's like a home video. Yeah, there's a home video of me playing like air guitar to it as a little kid, and so I just saw that again, like pretty recently, and I was like, oh, I remember that's when I wanted to pick up the guitar. And then I got lucky and won this like lottery from my grandma's church in sixth grade, and I won like $700. So nice. I decided I would buy a guitar with. I had to save half of it for college, according to my dad, because you know $350 goes so far for St. Thomas.
Yeah, it was a nice, you know, it was a nice one
textbook.
Yeah. 100.
Exactly. But then I bought a guitar, and I've been playing since. So sixth grade. However many years that is, I'm not good at math, so. Awesome. But yeah, I guess it was kind of a creative outlet. I never really thought I would do, I've always been in kind of like bands and stuff, but really just for fun up until Syrup Finger, which was also kind of created as a joke freshman year. And then, I don't know, we just kind of started getting a little more serious and it's been fun, so.
That's awesome. No, we love it. We are fans, although I'm not sure that we could point out any of your music.
There's nothing recorded yet, so that's fine.
So what is your, what, I mean, I know when I run a race or anything, it's, I'm still nervous before, even when I'm not like competing them anymore. Do you get nervous to go up on stage and perform in front of people when you do shows? I mean, you recently did a show in Chicago. Did you even know anyone that was in the crowd besides Ryan Trapp and Charlie?
My parents were there too, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I used to get a lot more nervous before shows, especially with Syrup Finger, because like it was original songs. We weren't covering music by anyone else. It was stuff that, you know, we wrote ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, you're putting yourself out there, like you don't know if it's awful exactly. Or if it's gonna be good. And yeah, we started playing like just house shows and stuff, and I was really nervous for those. Now I don't really get nervous. I get a little bit of anxiety before going on because I'm right. I want to play well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, beer helps quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
My go to is, you know, either a couple of rum and cokes or like a few PBRs before hitting the stage.
Ooh, the classic hipster. I love it.
Worry free. Exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. No. So kind of building on that too, what's your favorite part of performing in front of people?
Favorite part of performing in front of people?
Yeah.
Well, it's really cool. I guess my dream would be to, you know, play a big show and have people in the crowd sing back lyrics that you wrote right at you. I think that's like a super powerful thing. And I guess we've gotten kind of in that area because, you know, living with like Trap and Mike and, you know, other friends, they, you know, get really annoyed and hear the practice of the same songs over and over. And so they know the lyrics to some songs. And so sometimes they'll sing them back, you know, with you. And one time, actually, our buddy in the band, a band called Denim Boys, Danny Paulson, he went to St. Thomas.
Yeah.
He was at one of our shows recently, and he got up on stage with me and sang our last song like in the mic with me. It was pretty fun. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can imagine that's when you know you made it. We were having this conversation because Charlie and I went to Billy Joel at Wrigley Field a couple weekends ago, and we were having this conversation as like, what makes a song a classic? Because yeah. think about Billy Joel, like everything that he sings is a classic. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just got to be catchy and have like good lyrics that kind of relate to a lot of people, which is really hard to do because how do you write something like that if you don't have, I guess you just have to have a lot of those kind of experiences and he's got a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
in your opinion, what's more important, a good lyric or the good tune to match it?
Ooh, I think with popular music nowadays, it's got to be, I don't think the content of the lyrics matter, but I think the melody of the lyrics and how sure. they tie in with the lyrics
mm-hmm.
or with the music. I think music is kind of most important right now, like, you know, making, like, I'm thinking pop music, like, think of Sicko Mode. Drake yeah. has a lyric and there's out like a light, slept through the flight. Like just, you know, kind of repeated over and over. And people go nuts and, like, sing, like, if you're at a bar yeah. and that song comes on, everybody's shouting that lyric.
Right.
And it's like, dude, what? Yeah. But it's catchy as hell. Like.
It's such a simple, simple thing, yet everyone wants to sing it the moment it comes on. You're grabbing all your boys and you're standing up and you look like an idiot and it's great.
Yeah, exactly. It's a simple lyric. It means really nothing, but people love it and it's catchy and it works with the music and it's one of the most popular songs right now. So
yeah.
So I'd say music and melody of the lyrics. So that's kind of music. So yeah. over content of the lyrics nowadays.
Awesome. Well, you write some of your own music, right?
Yeah, almost all of it. We cover a couple songs, but most of it's all original stuff.
Awesome. So taking kind of that artistic creativity that you use to make that music, how do you think that you then turn and can apply that same creative mentality to what you do in the real world, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm a software developer, so it's kind of the same thing. Right. You got to kind of think outside the box. And I don't know, I guess I just have that mentality. I've always liked to kind of make things from scratch. I like to cook,
mm-hmm.
sometimes well, sometimes pretty badly.
Right.
Yes, boy, RD.
But, I don't know, I like to just kind of mess around with stuff and see what happens. I think that's a really cool thing to be able to make something from nothing.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I think it's a pretty cool trait to have. I definitely don't have it. I know Charlie doesn't have it either. I've heard him sing.
Play that song.
What?
Make me go all night.
Okay.
Long.
All right. That's enough. but yeah.
Kind
no,
of
I think,
off that answer though, Joe, about how you like to like, kind of make things up from scratch. Do you have, like, a creative process that you kind of try to get into when you're trying to write music or kind of harness this creativity for work or for cooking? Or is it kind of just whatever's happening at the moment, you kind of just go with it and boom, comes music?
So, yeah, I don't really have, like, a set process besides I like to write stuff on acoustic guitar before I do it on other instruments because I think it's kind of the foundation. If it sounds good on acoustic, then, you know, it's more possible to make it sound even better on anything else, but if it sounds shitty on acoustic, it's probably not going to be good.
Yeah.
And then also sometimes I'll get in a slump where I can't think of anything to write about for like months, or I can, but I can only write like a verse, but it just doesn't fit in with music or anything. So I kind of either write a song, whether I'm at an extreme, like emotion wise, if I'm like really sad or really happy,
mm-hmm.
That's when I think the best kind of stuff comes out because it's more emotionally driven than just like, I want to write a song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. As far as a process, I like to just kind of come down to my room, pick up a guitar. I start with music and then hit lyrics
yeah.
after that. And then it's going to be either good or awful. So. Every once in a while, you get a good one, but
yeah. You know. So you hear of a lot of these like famous artists just doing like insanely crazy things to pique that, I guess, creativity level.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever find any weird things that get you going, like just extremely obscure,
like braiding your hair?
Yeah, like you try to braid the hair on your legs in order to get that tune going.
Is that something that someone has, or are you guys just riffing?
Yeah, we're just going after it. I don't know. I mean, maybe give it a shot. We can come up with some ideas for it if you'd like.
I might have to try that. But, I don't know. A lot of artists like to read a book or, like, put on a movie. I just wrote a lyric about the Vikings game. That's pretty obscure because I was so goddamn frustrated, dude. I was at a bar and I took my jersey off and I like sprinted home or like sped walk home.
Sped walk.
It was ugly. I was mad. I lost my shit. But I wrote a lyric that was
says,
"You disappoint me like Vikings kickers on Sunday nights."
Man, that's awesome.
So I guess that's pretty.
That's just like slam poetry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sometime we'll have to do a little slam poetry on here and see what we can get into. I love it.
Oh yeah, that would be interesting.
But awesome. Well, that was probably deeper than I ever knew about the creative process. So that's nice. My creative process is all in Excel. It's pretty insane.
and again,
I solve a few Sudokus and then woo, look out, here we go.
Again, beer helps.
Beer does.
Have you
help.
Ever heard of something called Balmer Peak?
No.
Oh yeah.
You've heard of it, Charlie?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Oh, did you hear that about like from engineering or like programming classes or something?
What is it?
Exactly. All right,
so there's a Microsoft guy named Steve Ballmer who
who created the company basically.
Yeah. Or like some guy named William Gates or something like that.
William,
upstairs or something.
Yeah, I don't know. He was a strange guy.
But Balmer Peak is where there's like a chart of like growth for how many beers you've had to how good your like creative process is.
It's real.
And yeah, it's real. I tested it in college on some programming science, but it like gradually increases to a peak after a certain amount of beer. It's different for everyone.
Yeah.
But then right after that, like blood alcohol level wise, it just spikes down. So you have to find that peak where you're just, you excel at creativity, and you know,
yeah,
it falls off right after that. So
that's funny.
I wonder how that correlates to the beer pong peak.
Oh, it's probably about the same, huh?
Like, yeah, you know,
coordination wise, there might be a couple less beers, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's real. It's a real thing.
The Balmer Peak. All right. I'll keep that in mind. I'll tell my boss about it.
When Grant takes the ACT, he'll try to find that spot.
Yes.
Is that your punishment for something?
Yeah. Well, last year's, I still have to sign up for last year's March Madness Challenge. I was the worst bracket by far.
Ooh.
There's only eight of us, so it was a pretty small.
Anyway. It came down to you or I.
Yeah.
One
it was one of the two of us. ACT. I have yet to sign up for it. But if anyone knows any good testing spots, you know, feel free to let me know.
You gotta beat your high school score, man.
That's gonna be tough. I was pretty dumb in high school. I'm pretty dumb now, so.
All right, Joe. Wrap this up the way we wrap up the question part of every interview question or segment. But if you were to get your next tattoo, what would you be? What would it be, and where would you put it? I don't know if you've raised anything in the bank already, but let's hear it.
Yeah, that's tough because I just recently got one. But I definitely want another one already. It's just I have a hard time because I like to kind of come up with my own like designs and ideas and stuff. That is a really tough one. I was thinking about getting like the Mississippi River under like the skyline that I have.
Ooh.
But
I like that a lot.
That's the only idea I have right now. So that's like kind of bottom of my forearm. But ideally, I want my other tattoo to be, like, somewhere on my left, either, like, outside bicep or right above the one I just got on my forearm, so.
Right on.
Something along those lines. I don't know yet. Yeah. Or maybe Charlie and me on my forehead.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one, yeah. We'll just say charlieandme.org/episodes.
Yep.
Yeah. That'll be great.
Right.
Or we just get a QR code and people hold it up there.
Just scan it.
And they just scan it and it just takes them right to our site. That'd be awesome.
Right to this episode.
Yeah, right to only this episode. I'll have a strict page just for this episode. I love
it. Like, comment, and subscribe right under that.
I like it. you have any questions for us?
What is your guys' favorite memory of meeting Mike and I?
That's good. That's good. No one's ever actually asked us a good question before.
I like it a lot.
Our favorite memory, I'd say my favorite memory, boy, there's probably too many that I can't recount.
That one night, if you know what I mean.
Oh, we'll take that one off air. boy, I don't know. I think it was funny the one time I ended up breaking a glass when I came home one night, kind of later, and I broke a glass on the floor of our dorm room. And so then I had to stumble over to your guys' place, and I hate vacuums, so I had to borrow you guys' vacuum.
I remember that.
And yeah.
That little thing.
Yep. Oh yeah. Charlie was pretty upset with me that morning.
Because what I hear in the middle of the night is smash. Oh crap, that's my roommates.
It wasn't. I was just lost. I didn't know whose it was.
Yeah, and then it turned out in the morning it wasn't mine, so then I didn't care. But yeah. I was like, I only have one thing that was breakable, and it was my only bowl that I had.
It was like his favorite bowl. I think he probably still has it.
I do still have it.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. Oh, mine? Ooh. Might have been, I don't know, there's just... Overall, I just enjoyed how you and Mike just seamlessly wove into, like, the group of cross-country people, and, like, we'd, like, be chilling at a party or something, and we look around, and it's just, like, Grant, me, you, Mike.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
You guys kind of stole our vibe, too, though.
Even senior year, you would just, like, show up, and it was, like, nothing was different. And so it was kind of like Mike and Joe are kind of, like, just the non-running form of Charlie and Grant.
That's really true. 100%.
That is a good way to put it.
You're just the more gifted musically.
Yeah.
I remember even after graduating, I went to the Hana Kwansmas.
Oh yeah.
And I showed up really late to the house, and like I walk in and some like freshman or sophomore that has never met me before walks up to the door, and he's like, dude, who are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm Joe. I'm friends with like a lot of these guys. And he's like, no. And he's like, who do you know? And then all of a sudden, like, I think Casey or someone came up, and they're like, dude, come on, this is Joe, like Mike and Joe, man.
Like Mike and Joe, that's the best. It's always, it's like, oh, this is Joe, like Mike and Joe, come on.
Yeah, come on, man.
It was funny. I was like,
it's a TV show. I love it. All right, well, let's jump into this game. I can't wait to beat you up. We got a fun game plan for you here.
Okay.
Essentially, Charlie's gonna play music, and we're gonna have to guess the song. And the first one to guess, I'm gonna say the first one to get two right. Right? Yeah.
Yep, sure.
First one to get two right wins.
Or I run out of songs.
Or he runs out of songs. And he only has four, so.
Okay. I'll try to give a couple hints because it might be difficult otherwise. They're all covers of songs.
Covers.
Yeah.
So do we have to do the original, the OEM?
No, there's no words. Just like it's musical covers.
Musical covers.
Oh,
okay.
So just like the an instrumental.
Yeah.
Yeah, instrumentals.
Okay. Sounds good.
This first one's just a classic song, so hopefully you guys can get it.
Let's hear it. Could it have started out a little slower?
It's a slow song.
Oh, da 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 na, da na 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 na. Yeah, that doesn't help.
This
is a lot harder than I thought.
Yeah, this is embarrassing.
Great, you know that you have the tune.
It doesn't mean I know the song.
It's by like a two-person band name.
Tom Petty?
How come I can't? Dude, it's like, it's right there.
The second name of the band sounds like a famous cat.
Simon and Garfunkel.
There we go.
Okay, yes. That counts. Like, that's gonna count. Yep, I like it. But what's the song title?
It was Sound of Silence.
See, I wouldn't have gotten that one, too.
Silence.
Damn. I could sing that song if you played it.
You had it, right?
I know.
Okay. Damn. Here's the next one. Another classic song. This one should be easier. Just wait for it. Give it two, like three more seconds.
Doo-doo-doo. Africa. Toto.
Oh.
That's it's getting a real barn burner here.
1-1. Oh, okay.
All right, I'm gonna guess this next one.
I love the song.
Wait, are we naming the band or the title of the song?
Whichever comes first.
Either one. Okay. Yeah, this point.
It's very very loose rules.
Clue to this one. This is like a theme song for a movie that came out 15-ish, 20-ish years ago.
All right, sure.
It's a slow song.
Titanic. But the song is...
Is it by Celine Dion?
Yeah. Yes.
Ah, damn it, that's it.
Yes.
How'd you get that so fast?
I'm like, oh, I gotta name the movie.
Yes.
I think that counts.
That's a big double. Well, he got Simon and Garfunkel, counts. So.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Man, that was crazy. That was hot. That's a fun one, but I think that first song choice is pretty rough.
I thought it was a good choice.
That was a tough one. All right, Joe. We're happy to have you on. This is a blast. Maybe one time we'll have to have you and Mike on together and do a Joe-Mike interview.
And they interview us.
And then you interview us.
Oh, shit. Let's do it.
All right. Now we're giving away all our good content. All right, Joe. Well, this is a blast. We'll talk to you later, and have a good one.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. See you guys later.
Thanks, Joe.
So that was Joe Wacker. Fantastic guy.
One of the first guys we met at school, and then just friendship never ended.
One of the most creative guys I've ever met.
For sure. Really inspiring on just his creative outlet and everything.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff that I would never understand. And
his fashion too. He has like that fashion of like the pop punk ish.
Ooh yeah, definitely. Person. Definitely does, but it works for him. Like, if I tried to pull it off, I would look like an absolute weirdo. But
I feel like if you tried to pull it off, you'd just be wearing capris every day. That'd just be weird.
True. Yeah, I probably wouldn't fit in his pants anyway. but that was Joe. Great guy. Smart dude. And obviously, you know, people who are computer software developers, whatever he is, aren't dumb. But let's pop in his quote here, Charlie. What do you got for us to wrap us up?
Kind of going off the theme of the show, one good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. Bob Marley.
Ooh. That's a good one. That's a real good one. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Mine's going off of maybe a similar idea, but not really. There was a world record marathon set this last weekend.
Elliot.
And Elliot had a good quote. Only the disciplined ones in life are free. If you're undisciplined, you are a slave to your moods and your passions.
I saw that and I really liked it, so I'm glad you pulled that one out.
It is a fantastic quote, and I think that's a good thing to leave everyone with for the week. So on that note,
deuces.
Deuces.